Hello, welcome to Mustafa. Thank you for joining me. This is Hal, your occupational therapist, and I am one with my very favorite guest, Maria.
Hello, Maria. Hello, good morning.
We won't dilly-dally, Maria. We are here for an urgent consultation and brainstorming and discussion about a scenario, about the situation that we need to do. The case is a...
So this is a case of a four-month-old baby who was recently diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy type 1, SMA type 1. Prognosis is very poor, but parents are going for a treatment at a large teaching hospital in the UK to get the patient home after that and hopefully have a better life prognosis outcome. So now I was consulted when the child was in hospital, I was consulted to look at car seat challenge. Mm-hmm. We heard of car seat challenge where you put the child in a car seat and you time how long they sit in it without desaturating.
Okay.
And included in that is looking at how you can mitigate the desaturation using postural adjustments or postural support. Basically, we're not assessing the car seat, but we're assessing the patient.
Tolerance in using the car seat.
And using different positioning, postural support and all that. The outcomes is going to be used for planning discharge, how they're transported home, what recommendations, what follow-up is needed after that.
So let me clarify. The scenario is you were with a child with spinal muscular atrophy, SMA. That's a milk.
SMA type 1.
It's SMA.
Yes,
SMA type 1. Type 1 in the hospital with this, and these conditions are associated with breathing problems. They called into OT asking, can you do a car seat challenge? And this involves a child being trialed on car seat. The reason why you need to do a car seat trial is because a child needs to be put upright so that they can be transported at home. And then what you did here is that you looked at the child, get the child to sit on the car seat, and you've done multiple adjustments, monitor it as the child is being sat on the chair, do some postural adaptations with the view and with the aim of maintaining the saturation level. And once this is achieved, it will enable the family to take the child home.
Yeah, in the car seat.
In the car seat. The challenge here, if I'm not mistaken, and what I got from you is that it was not successful.
Yeah, this child failed. Well, failed the car seat challenge.
So it wasn't safe.
It wasn't safe. Because during movement, when the child was supine on a bed, he was 100% saturation, 100%. Moving side to side was fine, all good. And then as soon as we put him in a car seat, in less than 5 minutes, saturation dropped to 75%. And that is a fail.
Okay. Okay, so it was a fail, so it can't be done. And so the outcome of that, to get the person home, is that you have relied on ambulance transport to get the person home, making sure that the person is in supine, because that's the only time where saturation is maintained. So that would have been chapter one of the scenario, right? Because the person's gone home, there's no problem. Now, obviously, there is this child and now is being carried over by some colleagues in the community. And so the community therapy team now are questioning. They have some questions and they don't know what to do with this child now. Because it appears that the family had a decision and there is a need for the child to be transported regularly to try some different interventions in a very specialized hospital in London. And so to do that, family will have to bring the child over, and there is an issue of transport and how that's going to be addressed. And this is now the phase two of our conversation, isn't it? So the problem remains that the child is still not sitting outside or sitting upright.
Yeah. So the community therapist approached me to ask, what now? He failed the car seat challenge. So what do we do? Can we still provide specialist seating? How do we? One of the advice is to increase tolerance in seating, which is, how do we do that without equipment? What equipment can we recommend? And seriously, what do we do? Do we repeat the car seat challenge? If we do the car seat challenge, who's going to monitor it? We can't rely on parents to make those decisions. So that's my question. Although, yeah, of course.
That's the gap, isn't it?
There's still the team around the child, the specialist long-term ventilation team in the hospital. But they're not, I don't know if they're reaching out in the community. They will be assessed in the hospital. They would come back. But in the community, who does that?
Yeah. So there is that gap. Okay. Let's break this scenario down. At the moment, the child still cannot be transported on using a regular car. So we have the first option of transporting the child. The first one would be to have a regular hospital transport that will transport the child to another facility, and the child will now be just lying down. So that's option one. While this will work because nothing's changed and it's more specialized skill. Thing about this is that it is more expensive and it's not likely going to be sustainable. I mean, sure, we can make it sustainable because we can do it, but there is a lot of associated cost to that. Is there a continuing health care for this, for that particular reason?
There is, they're entitled for continuing health care.
So that,
and they have access to the hospice as well. They've been referred to hospice.
So that might be a funding source in case. If all fails, that would be the net, the CHE, and that needed to be explored. I guess we're just talking about that for the purpose of inquiry. Now, the next thing is the community therapy team. What do they do? Do they do a car seat challenge again? Is the question. The car seat challenge, mind you, is more focused on assessment, and it's quite a lengthy assessment. It's a car seat challenge. What this child needs is a restorative intervention that will enable the child to build the tolerance to sit upright. And to do this, that meant regular sessions of trialing being sat upright, and with a skilled therapist, obviously, with the view of also not just being sat upright, but also monitoring the saturation level. And the question is, this happening in the community?
No. So that is...
That's a gap.
That's a gap. That's not something that can... That is a specialized skill.
Uh-huh.
And usually it's not covered by the community offer.
So that's a gap in the service. There will be situations where people who are in need for methods. So this would be a service gap, a service need for a long-term ventilation team. It's almost like community outreach, community OT outreach for long-term ventilation for scenarios like this, because there's nobody else in the community that can do these things, okay? So that's one. One, the child needs restorative intervention, and that's what you will have to do. It's restorative, meaning you need to challenge the child regularly. It's no longer a car seat challenge. It's actually ventilatory challenge, isn't it? Mm-hmm. In different postural level. So ventilatory challenge is the one thing that they need to do. And then the community therapy team does not do that. So if they have to do it, somebody needs to be skilled enough or brave enough, or has the good clinical analysis of things. Anybody can actually do it. You just have the measure. It's much better. I think it's going to be easy because...
It is fairly easy about it. It's just when they desaturate, what do? You have to have a skilled nurse or someone who can... Parents usually trained to CPR and basic life support.
That's the worst thing, yeah.
Yeah, scary part of it. But the process itself is straightforward. It is easy. Just put the child in the car seat and
then measure the saturation.
Keep the sats on, exactly. Sats monitor on.
Yeah.
And then you time it. Whenever there's a drop, you make a note, how many minutes. There is a form that we can we can use.
So it's not really no. scary, but because of the case and the scenario, it makes it look scary to a point where not a lot of therapists would want to give that a try. Yeah. But it's very straightforward. It's much more simpler, I think, than seating management. Because with seating management, you're looking at different postural issues around the neck, the shoulder, the lumbar region. So you look at those things and then you adjust it, making sure that it's exact bang on the position. Whereas this child, you put the child upright and then you monitor. The measure is the saturation. If they are not doing okay, then you make adjustments, isn't it?
You make adjustments. You teach the parent how to handle, what to do. Maybe sometimes it helps to bring the back a little bit or tilt the car seat. Does it make a difference? And then you make a note of that. Does it make a difference when you do that?
Okay. I think this one deserves a more thorough episode, this car seat challenge. But going back to this case, yes, there is a gap. There is a need for that. Would you advise the community therapist to do another car seat challenge?
Would be useful to do that. But my next step is to get the child referred to a specialist car seat assessment.
Uh-huh. So that's option two. There are specialist car seat assessors out there.
Because there is an option of a lying down flat car seat for this type of cases.
Yeah.
Desaturation. They cannot tolerate an upright position, and they can have something different, something that can be positioned.
Okay.
So that is an option. And then continue on how a car seat challenge would be a good one to keep going in the community. And that alongside increasing seating tolerance.
Okay. So I think the next step, the option of having a clinician, we can prioritize that a little bit less because it involves a lot of skills. It involves uncertainties as well. But what's certain to get these problems addressed of transporting the child is for the child to be transported lying flat. And that involves referring the client to a community specialist or specialist seating company?
Yes, a specialist car seat. Specialist car seat
What
assessors.
Company would that be?
There's the in here in this region, there's the in-car safety.
In-car safety.
Yeah.
And they're the only ones?
There's the windmill special needs. So those are the two main car seats.
So windmill special needs and in-car
safety.
In-car safety. These are the two companies in the region that does these things. And we're not endorsing either or, right? But hashtags, shout out, whatever you call it. But they're the companies that have been mentioned because they're the ones. I don't think a lot of occupational therapists know about these, particularly those who's working in the adult dysfunction and then the mental health dysfunction. But I'm sure it's very familiar for those working in the pediatric dysfunction. In-car safety and windmill specialist. So windmill special needs. I think that would be the next step would be to do that so that they can arrange a proper assessment with the child. And my question is, would they have therapists with them?
My understanding is in one of them, yes. And the other ones, I've worked with the other one closely in the past. And they come over to the hospital and we do the assessments together. I don't know how they operate now and how they do it in the community. I would think that the community OT will be out there with them when they do it in the community. That would be my assumption because I would do it here.
If the child was in the hospital, you would have done it jointly.
Yes.
Where your objective would be to be full because you're the expert and familiar with the child's needs, then you will give feedback as and when and inform the assessor. And at the end of the day, this is technically assessing the child being transported lying flat, right?
Yeah.
So you're no longer looking at a car seat that is actual car seat. You're more specialized where it needs to be flat. I think that's more practical and more clinically sound to do that because the condition is unpredictable. So that's the next the next step would be, or the most logical step at the moment, is to refer this patient to the specialist saving company. You may have to advise the community therapy team. Would they know about them?
Usually we give the information to parents.
Uh-huh.
And then the parents will, it's either we contact for them if they are unable, or they can contact directly. Because it's not funded by anybody, it's parents funding.
Really?
Yeah.
But there is a clinical need.
I know, unless there is a specialist funding that can cover it for them.
Yeah.
So sometimes the staff in hospital organizes things like that. Or, I don't know, we'll meet some individualized funding requests somewhere if they're really unable to.
But there is a clinical need.
I know, but it's,
yeah,
it's difficult because this is a private cars. And you put the scars in their car.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What I'm saying is, yeah, there is a clinical need. Exactly. And at the time when we established earlier on is
it's like wheelchairs, isn't
the CHC. That's why I asked if there was
continuing care.
Yeah.
Healthcare needs.
Because if that's part of the continuing healthcare needs, then maybe. But we're now reasoning based on the pragmatic side. Yeah. These are all pragmatic and administrative concerns. The one thing that we need to ensure is making sure that there is a clinician who will assess the patient while the seat's being set.
And usually I would link in with community team about that.
And they would come in.
And they should.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So now we know that's the next line. And that is the top-down approach where there is a problem. We need to address this. We need to address this in a compensatory and modified way. And by making sure that there is enough and sufficient adaptive aid that's suitable, that will address the problem. At the end of the day, all of this, the problem is that the goal is for the child to be able to access these treatment that they needed to do in specialist hospitals in London, right? And then the next step is a restorative intervention where, but there is a gap. We don't know who's going to do this. We don't know if there's any clinical time that's allocated for this. And that's on the side, really. Are we missing anything else?
Oh, seating. That's another question about seating, specialist seating. This has nothing to do with the car seat. The specialist seating needs in the home. What would we recommend for that? Technically, at this point, I have got nothing because he can't even tolerate upright posture. So it will be increasing that tolerance towards
a seating,
a specialist seating. I would go for something that will fit the child at 4 months and it's a tiny baby. It doesn't really fit in anything specialist with lots of postural support.
They don't usually sit up
anyway, fully at this time.
Yeah, 7 months onwards is when they can.
There are some that's available for the younger ones, but it's still, again, positioned like a car seat anyway. So I wouldn't really worry too much about that until they get older.
Okay. That'll be the next step, isn't it? And that's where you need to progress to. My question is, when the child is being carried, is that allowed? Can the family carry and cuddle the child?
Yeah.
So the child doesn't desaturate when being carried in a maternal, the usual way.
Yeah. Usually flat on the tummy position. So tummy, flat on tummy, on the mom's chest.
Okay.
And then the thing is, with that, actually the child doesn't, because they're in that maximized position.
It's a good position.
It's a good position for breathing. And the parent can move around with the child, keep changing positions. It's actually a very good way of maximizing that respiration.
Yeah. So in a way, that is a good treatment session for the child, because you are stimulating, facilitating an upright posture, letting the child use their diaphragm, and then the session would be to get the child to do that almost upright semi-prone, and then move to supine for a few minutes and seconds, and then they'll go back again, and then supine, like semi-recline. Because the parent can handle the child. The reason why I was asking is, if the child is able to do that in a normal capacity, is it or are there ways on how the family can transport the child where the parent is carrying the child in that respect? Like in the airplane, like a lap child.
Mm-hmm.
This one is more like a transport challenge.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to carry a child in a moving vehicle, isn't it?
But you're allowed to do that in the plane?
Plane is different. This is plane is different. It's almost you don't feel the movement.
No, there are turbulences.
Turbulence, you have to sit down and put the child in a secure position. In a moving vehicle, it's supposed to be in a car seat. That's a regulation in the UK.
I know it is a regulation. But it's a regulation.
Is that exceptional? And who would authorize that? And if an accident happens.
Yeah, I know that.
You know, who
would this be? Is me asking, and it's almost like for anybody who's listening, an evidence-based review of the regulations about these things. I know as a blanket request, yes, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it, yes. But in circumstances like this, and if the child can tolerate semi-upright position on the chest or on the lap of the mother, are there means and ways to secure the child, like a seat belt for both mom and the child? Slings. Is the child able to manage a sling? We don't know.
So having in a sling and then the mom in a seatbelt.
I know. I'm only asking.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm only asking because these are what you call lateral thinking. You know the demand, you know the clinical challenges, and then you just explore the options.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it just raising a few more questions. But the one thing, based on our conversation, the one thing that's concrete at the moment is that you're going to make a referral or inform the community therapy team, update them of what needs to happen. It may have to be done either in Zoom meeting or a phone call, but my recommendation is to formally write down the report, like a request or the handover report of what can be done along with the options of the community therapist calling to you so that you can clarify and have that discussion together, and then involving the family with the plan. It's unfortunate that you can't be with the family and the child, because that would have just cut all the other bureaucracies.
Yeah.
Have we resolved questions?
Yeah, so my plan is to liaise with the community team, which I didn't get the chance to do, and then make some recommendations about follow-up car seat assessment and the tolerance, building up tolerance and supporting parents and family on how to facilitate that.
Yes. Okay.
And then the seating system, because that's one question they're asking, the seating system that can follow once we have increased the seating tolerance. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for that consultation. It's a wonderful conversation. Okay. Thanks, Maria. Guys, if you enjoyed this and you learned something, do us a favor, subscribe, share. No, what I meant is, if you learned something, sit down together with your colleague. Have a conversation amongst each other, learn together and grow together. Just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.